Hello and welcome. I'm Jim.
And I'm Rich.
And welcome to show 19, recorded on July 22nd, 2012. Here on Rich's Random Podcast Generator, we cover just about anything we want. From group hangout conversations to tech product reviews to interesting interviews, all tech, all the time, all posted out at theaverageguy.tv. You can contact Rich or me via email. Just send it to us, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, or follow the show schedule on Twitter. That's just @theaverageguyTV. We also have all the links to automatically download or stream the audio or video, if we have it. In this case, we won't have video for this show, to iTunes, YouTube, Zune, or Stitcher, or many of the other podcatcher applications available right there on the front page of theaverageguy.tv. Of course, you can always find us on YouTube, iTunes, Google Plus, or even Facebook, and we actually have a pretty good Facebook group going on right now just by searching The Average Guy Podcast, and please leave some comments, likes, votes, plus one, or other helpful tidbits out while you are out there. Of course, I am joined today by my co-host and namesake of the show, Rich O'Neill. Rich, how are you on this fine Sunday afternoon?
Man, I'll tell you, I am glad it's the end of the week here, because I'm ready to go back to work Monday. It's been the end of the weekend. It's been a really busy weekend, man.
Been one of those kind of weekends.
Yeah. I've been doing a little bit of, I say this very humbly, a little bit of coding, which is something I find fascinating, shall we say, but I'm not good at it. Every little line is like researched and yeah. So I blew away like about 8 or 10 hours yesterday just working on this little script, trying to make it work right.
Now, what are you trying to do? You've explained it to me, but for listeners, what you're trying to automate some, right?
Yeah. I have a friend who works at the university who has to go around and maintain PCs for users who just won't run Windows updates and won't clean their, you know, they have this program called PeopleSoft, and they constantly need to clean the cache and the cookies, internet cache and cookies, so that they can actually see their web pages properly. It's a problem, and it wouldn't be a problem if they would just go ahead and hit the required keystrokes to actually do that. So what my friend wants to do is be able to walk up to any machine with a USB device, start up a program, hit go, and have it do a lot of these things automatically, so she doesn't have to go up there, you know, when she does have to make a personal visit to the machines. Mm-hmm. So she'd like to be able to do these things quickly. She's also looking to see if we can get Windows, critical Windows updates, automated. So run a script. Hey, you've got X number of updates. Download automatically, reboot if necessary, or don't reboot. We'll see. I'll see what she wants on that. Maybe I can figure out how to make it not reboot or give the user a warning or something. It's kind of fun doing it. It's kind of neat. It's sort of based off of a utility I made years ago for a group of gaming buddies of mine who would never take the time to stop playing the game long enough to defrag their XP computers, and they're trying to load their maps, and they're like, this map loads so slow. Did you defrag the thing lately? No, I can't do that. It's so bad now, it'll take me hours. So I at that point, they gave me the idea. I did create an app for them to do that. It was an app, basically, where you just made some settings, and it would run Spybot, it would run CCleaner, it would defrag, it would run disk cleanup built into XP, and maybe a couple AVG, I think, if you wanted to. And these guys were constantly getting hosed. That's why those were included. They make their settings, and they check off the box that says, and shut down. And so 1 o'clock in the morning, they're done playing their games for the night. They just hit the app, bring it up, hit go, and go to bed. And if it doesn't get done doing everything until 6 o'clock in the morning, no big sweat, they're sleeping. That's what I did. And I was thinking at the time when I did this, I said, boy, this would be good for like some kind of corporate, in this case, a university.
So. Now, Rich, why are they not using some kind of standardized or centralized management tools, you know, in the Microsoft ecosystem? I assume, is there no kind of...
You know, I have just made this acquaintance, and so I don't know. The answer, okay. The quick answer is I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, interesting. Certainly from a PC support standpoint, nice to have that in your toolbox as something, you know, even for friends and family, when you go out to their house, I can't tell you how many times people call me and say, hey, my PC is running slow. Is there, you know, is there anything you can do about this? Can you change it? Can you do that? And, of course, we all have the tools that we go to and or the methodologies we go through. I can't remember the last time I defragged something. I mean, Windows 7 just does that.
Yeah, that would be an XP machine mostly.
Yeah. And I haven't seen, I just fixed a Vista PC, and that's the first one I have seen in a long, long time. And so since Windows 7, my calls, you know, my friends who call me, about cut by 75%. I just don't get that many calls anymore, and when I do get them, they're usually pretty hosed up.
Really
hosed. Well. Yeah, and in most cases, it's a virus. That's the 9 times out of 10 now we're seeing virus problems. And so that was the case in this one. It had I ran malware bytes on it. Found 179 different adware, spyware, viruses. It was pretty jammed up. We ran Windows Easy Transfer, took the files off onto
pretty handy utility.
Yeah, another one, right? And if you're the average guy and you've never used that before, just go to Start and Search, and then type in Windows Easy Transfer. That's on Vista and Windows 7, and coming on the new Windows 8.
And you don't have to buy that cable. Easy Transfer. Have you ever heard of that?
I have. Yes.
People that have heard of Easy Transfer. Also, a lot of times they've heard of that cable and think, well, you know, I'm not going to buy that $30 cable. You don't have to, people.
No.
You just find your USB hard drive, external hard drive, or network drive even, I think. Mm-hmm, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Backs up to just about anything. You know, I was looking at the Best Buy sale paper today, and a 32-gig flash drive is now $20. And so you can get pretty cheap. I mean, in this case, their backup was about 30 gig. So we could have gotten it on even on a flash drive. So lots of different options there, and then I blew away, you know, it had a hidden partition where the recovery was, and then I just put Vista back on it. It was Vista pre-Service Pack 1, so it took about 2 hours to download and update to Service Pack 2. You know what I did, Rich? Something a little different. I actually went to the website and downloaded the service packs. Hadn't done that in a long time, right? Rather than waiting for them to go through Windows Update, I did Service Pack 1, downloaded it, installed it, and then I went immediately and got Service Pack 2, downloaded it, and installed it. You do want to install those in order. And then it had 200 or so updates to do still after Service Pack 2.
You know what's a killer? It's too bad that you can't download these updates and just have them locally. So like when the other machine's in a house, like your own little update services, that would be nice.
Nice for your internal network, especially if you had bandwidth caps.
And that's kind
of the premise behind Microsoft's Enterprise. You can do that with some of their enterprise services where you download the service packs and then the PCs get them from your network as opposed to pulling them down from Microsoft. So there's some things available. Hey, well, let's speaking of helping out people and your toolbox, a lot of discussion this week. Of course, last week, a Newegg had a sale on Acronis True Image Home 2012, and I'll show you. Rich bullied me into buying this. He said, "Jim, you got to have that in your
bullied."
Toolbox.
I gently suggested
$15 for a single license in it, and you know, that's one of the interesting things about it, Rich, the license key is absolutely the longest thing I've ever seen. It's got to be 8 of those, you know, the Microsoft numbers, you know, 8KSM479. There's 8 of those.
I'd have to have somebody reading that thing off while I'm typing it in. My eyes would be crossing.
So I picked it up, and I installed it yesterday. You and I talked a little bit about this. I got some time, and so I put it on and did some things. So I know a lot of the guys that hang out with us in the Home Server Show community swear by it. So give me an idea, Rich. I mean, why? How are you using it? And maybe start for the average guy and work to a little more advanced. What's maybe the number one reason I should have it if I'm the average tech guy? Because it's probably a tech guy device. The average user is probably not going to use this.
Maybe not. If you're the average tech guy, you know, you get a PC in. If you're the average smart tech guy, you're thinking about, before I do anything crazy with this PC, I should make an image. And this has got to be about one of the easiest ways to make an image. I mean, it makes a single file. You can take that image and move it to your network. You can bring it back via USB device, whatever. And it's so easy to work with that image. The cool thing about that is, okay, so here you go. You got a laptop, we'll say. You throw in the bootable Acronis Rescue CD, which is something that you can make very easily. We made one yesterday. Mm-hmm. We started up Acronis. We went into the backup tab, and then I think there was something about a bootable media. So you make an ISO, you burn it to your DVD, and then you grab that and you boot up your laptop. When you boot up your laptop, once you get into a Chromebook, you're going to see that you can back up locally, you can back up to the network. So you back up to the network, and it's pretty fast about the way that it goes about it. So you get your backup image. So you do your work. If you need anything off of there, you know, it's a good insurance policy. Like, just in case something goes wrong while you're working on this machine, at least you can always bring back that image. Now, the thing about bringing back that image, if you were to bring back a large image, that I think that's the other thing about imaging software. Earlier imaging software, once you made an image of a partition, we'll say 160 gigabytes, you cannot restore that to a partition any smaller than 160. But with a Acronis, yeah, you can. If the actual data is no larger than the partition size you're trying to make it, so if you've got like 40 gigabytes of actual data, you could easily bring it back to like a 60. That would be no problem.
Well, you can't compress it, so I can't say it's 60 gig. The image is 60 gig in size. I can't compress that to make it fit on a 40 gig hard drive, right? It's going to need to be at least the size,
right?
If not more. You wouldn't want to take 59 and a half gig and jam it on a 60 gig hard drive, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. If you're a technician, you would probably know enough not to try to do that because, which leads me into another problem, but I'll leave that for later. Somebody else's PC I worked on had 2% free space on their hard drive. It was pretty funny when I saw it.
Yeah, so, Windows doesn't do well when it doesn't have some swap space.
No, it doesn't do very good at all once it gets below 15%. I mean, it can't run the defrag properly. And in Windows 7, we don't talk about defrag much, except if we're talking SSDs, but we just normally don't talk about it, and that's because it's fairly efficient. Every time I've ever analyzed it, it's never been much more than like 2 or 3% because it's constantly picking its time when to do some defragging in the background. But back to that image thing, that is one of the big things about reimaging a hard drive. You can actually back up a partition that's one size and then bring it back to a partition that's smaller. Now, yeah, you probably wouldn't want to bring that crappy, infected image back. But the other way I like to use it is, okay, now I've got everything up, running, all the drivers are installed, all of the updates are done, and maybe a lot of their basic applications, and probably it's activated. What I like to do is I like to take and put an image right on their own hard drive. We'll assume that they got a big enough hard drive to do it, not one of these smaller SSDs. So you boot up into Windows, you go into disk management, shrink the partition, your main partition, your OS partition, your C partition, down enough to be able to hold whatever size the actual data is in that C drive right now. Then you create the second partition. If you actually have Acronis installed, at that point you can just clone live in Windows to the second partition if you wanted to do that. But I prefer to actually make a backup. So I would make a backup of a fresh, virgin, you know, untouched by human hands image stored on that second partition. And then I would go back in, once that's done and verified, I would go back into disk management and I would hide it. I would simply go in there, I'd right-click on that partition in disk management, and I would go down to where it says change drive letters, I think is what it's called, and I would remove the drive letter. So, of course, it's still there, and when you boot up with a live Acronis CD, you'll be able to, it'll assign it a drive letter anyway, but Windows won't see it anymore in Explorer, so people won't be screwing with it.
Yeah, so you might.
So cover. It's like a hidden partition. Yeah, sort of like
you
a
might
recovery
name
partition.
It recovery partition, so that know you could go back and forth. Now, that would work real well for friends and family. Now, I change a lot of my PC. Yeah, I mean, I'm always kind of chomping on my PC.
Uh-huh.
You've told me that before. That's something, and we even do that with Windows Home Server from time to time, right? Which is, you know, create backup. Back up your version right after you've installed everything. You got the updates on. You got the drivers on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For me, it always seems like things change frequently enough that I'm swapping out hardware. So that's just one thing for me. I love that idea, though, when it comes down to, especially if you have a friend who's always wrecking their PC, right?
So when you swap out hardware, you've got maybe a different signature on there. Maybe you've got another motherboard. And maybe when you boot up, maybe you'll get that blue screen because the mass storage drivers, is that what I want to say? No. The hard disk controller is not going to understand what's going on with the drivers aren't the right ones for the motherboard you've got. So Acronis has this feature. When you're pulling that backup image, restoring it, you have a feature in there if you buy the Plus Pack of Universal Restore. And basically what it does is it says, okay, null out all of these drivers here. Have the user, that you know, the repair tech, throw in the installation CD of the motherboard and say select Universal Restore, boot up and restore with that recovery mode, and it looks to the CD drive for the drivers, the proper drivers, and it just puts them in. So you can take an image from another computer. Now Windows 7 will mostly boot up. You could probably pull your disk out of your system right now and throw it into your son's new system, which we'll talk about in a bit, and it would boot up. You might have to download drivers, and then again, you know, it may pull down drivers. I mean, it's a lot better than XP used to be. But if you run into any problems at all, they've got Universal Restore. And that's handy if you are dealing with driver issues. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Anything else?
Well, let me walk across the software, because it's the first time I've been in it.
And, okay.
Well, yesterday was the first time. Won't be your first, but as I look at it's actually the interface is really simple. There's four tabs across the start. So the Get Started tab just has three kind of learning sections to help you kind of learn about how to do things. And I kind of like they've kind of taken this graphics approach where everything's kind of like drawn in cartoon style. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So they actually do some help. They use that too. If you hover over the backup data icon, it'll actually show you an arrow and say, okay, you need to click on this if you want to do backup. Anyways, so there's four tabs: Get Started, Backup and Recovery, Synchronization, Tools and Utilities, right? And so the very first thing we did yesterday is we walked to Backup and Recovery, and that has some sections. Disk partition backup. This is what you were talking about. This is the main tab, right? This is the tab that if you're going to back something up, this is where you're going to go. And so, like you'd expect, it says source and destination, and the source you can choose any of the drives, and I'm assuming here I can select a drive at a time, so I have access to my C drive or my D drive in this case, or there's also a multiple partition section, right, that'll let me drop that down and back up C and D, or just D, or D and E if I had it, right? I could exclude that out, so that's kind of nice. Real simple graphic, very easy to use. I mean, even an average guy like me gets that. There's a button up here that says switch to disk mode. If I click on that, it's going to actually flip those over from drive letters to hard drives themselves, right? So I, instead of saying C drive is this, D drive is this, now I get the names of the hard drive. So it says WDC, WD3. It names out my hard drive that's in there. Or in this case, I have a reserved on the C drive. I have a reserved system section in there. It shows that there as well. Gives me some options. So we'll go back to single, and then the destination is below it. And so I can drop that down and choose any of the drives or mapped network drives. Now it picked up, for example, like, it gives me access to the D drive, which in this case is a separate hard drive. Gives me access to my P drive, which is the Pogo plug drive. So it sees that and makes that a viable option for me to back up to. I have a W drive, which is my Walla backup. So I could back it up to that and would push it up to the cloud. So that's kind of cool there. What's missing, though, is I've mapped a Z drive that goes to the Drobo FS, which is network attached storage. That's not available on there. So I was a little surprised that I couldn't, if I go into my computer, it's there, it's available, I can get into it in my computer, but it doesn't give it to me as a source.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, so
I don't have Drobo.
Yeah, right. Well, sorry, Rich, I'll send you one. But hey, you could win one, and that would be a little early. Although by the time this comes out,
that would be quite an uproar, wouldn't it?
By the time this comes out, the contest will be announced. But and you'll just have to go over to theaverageguy.tv if you want to know what contest we're talking about. But so anyhow, just a little hitch. I'd have to figure that out. One of the things I'm assuming is if I selected the CD drive, which is E in my case, E is my CD, or it's my DVD drive, the make this media bootable option becomes available, right? And so now I, just with a simple check mark, I can make this, if I'm going to back up to the DVD, I'm assuming it's going to back up my image and make that bootable, right? So that if I get in trouble, I can throw that DVD
in
there.
It would do that. But I'll tell you, you don't want to do that with a, unless you're just totally, you know, we'll call it motivated. I wouldn't want to do that with a large partition. Maybe a fresh installation. That might be an interesting option for a fresh install.
And, you know, Windows takes more than 4 gig to even with nothing on it.
Oh, yeah.
So you're talking multiple DVDs, I would assume, at that point.
Probably talking 4 or 5 after just a nice install with all your applications and all your updates.
Now, there's a schedule feature in there. Tell me, do you use that? It says turn on. It's currently off. I assume that I could turn that on, and it's going to give me, hey, I want this image to back up to this drive and this schedule. And so I can go daily, weekly, monthly, or upon an event.
Go ahead. Keep going on about that, because I got to get into the schedule.
Yeah, daily, daily, weekly, like you'd expect. Daily, weekly, you can set the time and the day. Monthly, or there's an upon an event. And so in that, it says the events that are available start at 1 user login or user log off. System startup, and you can delay that system startup operation by a number of minutes. That's the option. You can set that yourselves. As well as system shutdown, and then there's a tab that says once a day only, so that if you had multiple shutdowns throughout the day, I assume it would only pick one or maybe the first one, or if you've done one in that 24-hour period, it wouldn't run.
Yeah. That's not one that I think somebody like typical geeks like us, I think a lot of we find ourselves some days turning our computers on and off a lot because we're doing things with maybe the configuration.
Sure, but wouldn't be a bad option maybe for my mom if she didn't have a backup option and I post it, right? She's going to fire up her computer, and upon shut off, before it shuts down, I would say, hey, Mom, just it's going to do some things. Just leave it. It'll shut itself off. And then it would back up, I'm assuming, incrementally.
By default, yeah.
And then there's some advanced settings. So run the backup only when the computer is idle is one of them. Wake up the sleeping, hibernating computer. Prevent the computer from going to sleep or hibernate during the backup, right? That's checked automatically so that you don't lose your backup as you're doing that. And then this is kind of interesting. If you miss the backup, you can run it. It says run at system startup with a delay of blah. So if you miss it, the next time it starts up, it'll check that. Give it a 15-minute window, then go. Because some PCs, right, you wouldn't want to start a backup right at the beginning because there's probably 2 or 3 minutes of the PC catching its breath, right? It's got to install this. It's got to install
not
that.
Not mine, but yeah.
But some people's. I believe it. So some scheduling that's involved in it, right? Do you do anything with scheduled? I mean, this has a lot of hints of a Windows home server idea, right? Do you schedule any of your backups?
Yep, I do. I have mine just going off daily, and I have not even gotten into it much more than just run an incremental backup and then run a full one. I'm trying to remember how I set this up. Run a full one every, I don't know, is it every week or every 2 weeks or something to that effect.
Okay. So you do have some. Yeah. And then down in the bottom left-hand corner is a disk backup options. You select that.
That's where we go.
Yeah, there's 5 tabs in there that seem fairly granular, Rich. I'll be honest with you.
That's it. That's the backup screen is where I was at.
It's a lot of granularity in Acronis then at this point where you get the options to enable a backup schema. You know, how are you going to do it? There's an advanced tab that talks about image creation mode, backup protection, pre and post commands, backup splitting, validation. Do you find yourself in that often, Rich?
I am not in there often, but I went in. Now, you know, it's been a while since I've done this, but I set this up to do incremental, and then as you can see in the backup scheme, I went with incremental, and then I clicked off the create a full version, and I think it was every 7 days. I can't get into mine right now because mine is actually running as we speak, so I can't actually get into those settings at this point.
Sure.
But I mean, I've got like about a dozen other images I can look at. So I'm looking at it as we talk about it. So that's what I did. I created a full version every 5 days, which I'm just thinking, you know, you don't run into any problems. I mean, you shouldn't run into problems, but hey, with a single image, you got a better shot of pulling off a successful restore.
Right. A few other options that are interesting. There is a computer shutdown option. It'll say shut down the computer when the backup is complete. So you can, again, if this is a situation where you're running your backups late at night and then you just want it to shut down the computer, it'll do that automatically, as well as run the backup as a different Windows user. So say you have some kids' accounts, and those accounts are pretty locked down, but you need to have access to the full PC to get all the user accounts backed up. You could use this, fill in the administrator username and password, and then it would run as the administrator and get those various user accounts to back up.
Jim, I don't know why you're asking me about any of this. You have been through this much more thoroughly than I have. I'm like, wow, that's in there and that's in there. Wow.
Well, that's just kind of interesting. It's some good stuff. I think we've talked about Acronis a lot, but I don't think people have really realized how powerful or how much stuff is actually in there. Across the tabs then, so that was the advanced tab. There's a performance tab, which will allow you to set your compression level. And Rich, have you ever gone off the default to try and set maximum compression?
No, I left compression? It. No, I just left it at normal.
Okay.
I have a lot of space, so it's not a problem.
Okay. There's none normal. So I wonder what... So normal must have some compression to it. It would probably be low, I would say. Right. So it's probably none, normal, or low. Then they have high and max. So it almost would have been better if they would have said none, low, medium, and high.
Well, one high egg, and two eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. Operation priority, which I'm assuming dictates, does it, when it's running, is it, can it take over everything, or does it just run in the background? And in this case, default is set to low, but that is low, normal, and high. And then a network connection speed limit. So I think you could, if you didn't want this to kind of take over your network, you'd be able to set...
As you're saying this, I'm looking at my networking tab. See now. Oh.
You know, I noticed your bandwidth got a little sketchy there for a second, so I wonder if the backup that you said it was running is taking up some of the bandwidth.
Well, here's something interesting. I was doing some stuff with some wireless configurations in a couple of laptops, so I threw in an external wireless device, you know, a USB wireless dongle, and... the actual backup now is running across a 150 gig megabits per second connection, wireless connection, and it's utilizing about 43 to 45% of the network speed. So, but it's not touching my LAN. I mean, my wired connection. So that's actually kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, I think I like that. I might leave that dongle in there so it doesn't screw with my internet connection.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, good to go. Across the top, there's also a notifications tab, and I'm assuming that this would just be if you want, it's set with no notifications by default, but you can show notification message on insufficient free disk space. I learned today that's important. I was trying to move some data from my server over to a virtual image because I wanted to test storage spaces in Windows home or in Windows Server 2012, and I actually ran out of disk space. I filled it up. I didn't look before I started, and I ran that VM out of disk space, and it locked up solid. Aww, it's done. It threw an error, and it didn't like it. I'm going to need to get some more space, but. So I'm assuming here if you're getting close to running out of disk space on the backup, it's going to say, hey, you're getting close. You should do something because this thing is going to fail if you don't. And then there's a nice send email notification about this operation.
Right.
So you can send it to an email, which is good.
Yep.
Last tab on that disk backup options is the exclusions tab. And I would expect to see this here, actually. So if, say, you didn't want it to back up, by default, it doesn't back up TIB files, .tib or .tmp. That's great because those TIB files are worthless in most cases. So you don't, sometimes those are just data dumps from when the operating system goes awry. And you never, as average users, we never go look at those things.
I don't think it doesn't do that, and it doesn't back up your page file, and it doesn't back up your Hibernate file.
Is that the tilde? I don't know what the star dot, the little tilde. Do you know what that means? I don't.
Star dot tilde. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Must be something that is a system. So which is pretty nice because there is a lot of junk embedded in Windows that that, you know, maybe you move all your MP3s up to Amazon and you don't want to back them up twice, right? You've got them, but you've got them backed up in the cloud somewhere.
You know what? You could, I'm going to look that up while we're talking.
Okay. All
right. *tilde*.
So that's the backup options tab, which I think is the meat of Acronis. There's a lot of different options that you have in there that you have access to. Rich, while you're looking that up, if you back out of that, along the top, we talked about disk partition backup. The next tab is online backup. So I imagine I can also push this up to an offering. Does Acronis have a cloud option?
That's a pretty nice offering. I'm going to remember this off the top of my head. I think it's $50 for 250 gigabytes a year. $50.
Okay.
That's not too bad. You know, I know that for $50 you can get CrashPlan for $50, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Unlimited.
$50 a year.
Unlimited.
Yeah. I was gonna look myself and see what did you, let's see, their business solutions are yearly subscriptions. It says workstation a 500 gig, $99. Server up to a terabyte, $499. And a virtual machine up to 2 terabytes is 1100 or 1200. That's their business solutions. Let's see if I can find their. Surely they have a consumer offering. All right, we'll have to.
Now, are you looking at Acronis?
Yeah, I'm at Acronis.com. Although I'm at Acronis.com/enterprise.
Yeah, yeah.
Well. So
I'm
you
pretty
would,
sure it's, I think it's 50 for 250.
Okay, for the average consumer. So yep. They could back up a 250 gig worth of their files to the cloud.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. You could.
Right. So that's available there. They have another tab called Other Backups. You can do a file backup. I am a file. It says file backup, email backup, and non-stop backup.
Non-stop backup. Well, yeah, that's kind of like a Dropbox sort of thing in a way. Select a destination, another drive, a network drive, and every time you drop a file or folder into that monitored file or folder or drive, that's it. It goes up automatically.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you can set the the granularity of how often it backs up. So, I mean, it could do it instantly, I think, or it could do it as much as, what, hourly or something to that effect?
I'll look in the nonstop backup options.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell me there. Those are the exclusions. I don't see that. Doesn't mean it's not there. I just don't.
Nonstop backup options. What does it say? Let me see.
It just has an exclusions tab.
Yeah.
But I like that. That would be a great, I would think if I had a NAS and I wanted to, have it a copy. You know, we talk about the sync applications. So Always Sync, Sync Toy, right? This would be a similar product to that, right? I could say, look at this folder, and whenever there's a change in it, move that over to another drive somewhere, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. And what is email backup? I don't get that. Well, let's say every time there's a configured email backup process, so I assume, it's been a backup all my email settings. So it looks at the Windows Contacts folder, and it looks at the Microsoft Outlook folder, and I'm assuming it's going in there and backing up my email as well as the contacts that I build in there. So pretty cool if you're one of those kind of guys that is not completely converted to the cloud. This seems like it was probably more relevant about 4 or 5 years ago when folks were using Outlook or mail clients on their PCs.
Right.
I don't know about you. I don't keep a single contact anywhere but the cloud.
Yeah, I just, it's funny you say, because I just reinstall Windows Live email client on my PC the other day just to have a look. You know, not to get off on a subject, but it is easier to write an email actually with that Windows Live than it is to like fire up Google online and write an email. It's just better functionality, especially when you want to drop a photo in line, not just as an attachment. So,
mm-hmm.
for one.
Yeah.
One.
Okay. One of the tabs that you helped me with yesterday was create bootable media, which I thought was pretty cool. This is a wizard that will walk me through and actually create a separate piece of media. In this case, we burned a DVD. It burned very, very quickly. It's actually sitting in my, still sitting in the tray in my PC as we speak. You had me select the Acronis True Image home, which when I booted it inside a VM, it worked for a while, and then the VM locked up. So I there must have been something where I didn't have access to keyboard and mouse anymore. So there must have been something between the way that software works and it wanting native support from USB 2, which isn't working, of course, when the VM is cranking. It was a VirtualBox image. So I haven't tried it yet. I was going to actually take that bootable media, put it on a USB drive, plug it into my laptop, and see what it looked like when I booted up. But you get a very nice GUI screen, right, that says Acronis or Windows. And you would choose Acronis, and then I'm assuming at that point it would give you everything you need to find your image wherever it's at and then start restoring?
It does. I would say caveat, but one thing you want to be aware of is that when you go in and start clicking on things, give it a little, click on it and give it a few seconds to respond. When it's you've selected maybe where you want to go. Let's start again. Where you want to back up your image to? Okay. Sometime if it's a network device. And it always is. It takes a few moments for it to sort out what's going on with the network. It will get it, and it always does get it, but just hang loose there. And the other thing I'll say is when you are typing in the username and password, it's a little bit slow. You click on the box for username, and it takes a second before the cursor shows up so that you may start typing. And then when you go to password, the same thing. But just give it a couple seconds. Don't be impatient with it. It works perfectly fine.
Okay. Good advice. When I went into the so that's the create the bootable media. That's pretty straightforward. Creates an ISO for you. You can create a DVD on the fly. You can send that ISO to a network drive. There's lots of things you can. There's lots of options with that.
Right. Great.
Yeah. Let me go in there and see if there was any other.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, when you do that, so you have the option to use the system report, Acronis system report, include that on the recovery media. I don't use it. I mean, you certainly may. Now, the other thing is, if you don't, for me, a lot of times I will throw that disk in and I will say, okay, boot to the CD drive, and it'll start booting up Acronis, but then it'll default to Windows, and I'm not paying attention, and the next thing you know, it's up at Windows. To prevent that from happening, in other words, to make it automatically start up Acronis once you've pointed to the CD drive as your bootable, you want to check off that box. Check off the box to start automatically after a few seconds. So what you do is you actually have to highlight Acronis True Image Home, and then you see a box down at the bottom right says start automatically, and the default is 10 seconds, which is fine.
And that's a good point. I up mine to 15 just because I'm a little slow. But I see that there, and that's good because I couldn't figure out at first. I'm like, hey, Rich, it's grayed out. I can't change that. And you're like, well, click on Acronis Home Image, and then it'll become available to you. Okay, easy, so yeah. That's the Media Builder Wizard. Pretty good. When you get to the last stage of that, it says, "Do you want to do you want me to send it to your CD-ROM or your DVD burner, or do you want me to make an ISO image of it?" And in my case, I choose the ISO image, and I just put it to the desktop. And created an ISO. Let me look at that real quick here. I just called it bootable backup.iso, and it is a gigantic 197 megs in size, so not very big.
Yeah.
Pretty movable, pretty portable. You could get that on just about anything. Including
a USB drive, I believe, and there's probably help on Acronis' website to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
If it's not part of the actual burn, one of the features of the burn.
Right. Yeah. Good. Well, I clicked the tab next to it, said browse for backup. So this is the feature that allows me to go in and find the various backups that I've created. And now I see what the TIB file is, right? A TIB, T-I-B, is an Acronis backup. I wonder what that stands for. I wonder what
true image.
Ah, true image backup. Mm, you're too smart, Rich O'Neill. Jeez, I'm a moron.
Not really, but yeah.
See, that would have been a good if we were doing real stuff, if we were real professionals, that would have been called a softball.
Right? Yeah, that's a softball.
I would have thrown you a softball.
Thank you.
Then the last tab is that's there is the recover, and in this case I've done no backups, so I can't recover anything, but I assume if I wanted to recover from a previous backup that I've done, I could click that, browse for the backup, and just bring that back down, right?
There are multiple ways, exactly right, and there are multiple ways to get to that. You could, let me see, I'll verify this for myself, but I believe you can just go to the TIB file, and I've got most of mine. Pretty much I have all of them sitting on, actually created a shared folder on my Windows Home Server 2011 called Acronis Backups. And I've got like a dozen, actually, Acronis folders with individual folks backup. Now let me see, if I right click on that, so here you go. So I'm looking at my daughter's backup. And I right-click on it, and I see in the context menu, I see Archive, and I move over to the right, and it says Mount, so I can mount it, and then I can just drag and drop files as I wish. The bottom one is called Validate, so it goes through some process of validating whether that backup is actually has integrity. And then the middle one is actually Recover, so I can actually start a recover from there. It's like that. So. Okay. Yeah, they give you a bunch of different ways to get to what you want to get to.
Yeah.
In this case, the backup. So
pretty easy to use too.
Heck of a tool, I'll tell you. I just love it for the technician side of it when I need to back up somebody's stuff before I start working on it, especially if it's somebody who's really nervous about their data, which always makes me more nervous about it. It just gives me a chance to say, look. Worst case scenario, I'll just give them back their. It's never happened, of course, but worst case scenario, I'll just give them back their drive, totally untouched, and they can just deal with it themselves. I always give myself that option, and a Acronis backup allows me to do that pretty easily. Gee, I should be a spokesman for Acronis.
Jeez, you should.
Yeah, dude. Yes.
Some interesting stuff. The next tab over is called synchronization, and we gave a little hint of this during the backup and recovery tab with an online account. I actually did have an online account. I set up with Acronis. I must have done a trial a year ago, maybe right. longer, and I set up an online account with them. While you were talking, Rich, I went in and logged in. Using the synchronization tab, and it said to me, hey, your subscription has expired, and view the log that's in there, and I haven't done anything with them, so the logs are empty. Mm-hmm. A chance here to update my subscription, so let me click on that, and let me see, we were talking prices here. Let me see if I can find the key.
Yeah, right.
You have zero registered products, so I guess I haven't registered this piece of software yet. Mm-hmm. I bet if I registered this thing... I bet we'd probably get some free space. What do you think?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
You do check it out. But what you will get is you'll be able to go to your site, your own account on the site, and you log in and you'll see your products. And you right there you'll be able to see what the latest updates are for your products. Now, you can also get updates by... hitting an update tab somewhere in here.
Yeah. Now, I just clicked on the update subscription. It took me to the acronis.com/my/online-backup. And I am at a page that gives me it's called Acronis True Image Online. So it says your current subscription status. I have none active, but it's offering me one free month. So that's for being a new user, I get a free month in there. And then it says change your subscription. So currently, you're right, it was $250. That's the baseline is $250. Mm-hmm. My payment method right now is I can choose monthly or annual. If I choose monthly, the subscription fee for $250 is $4.95 a month. $50 a year. So right on, Rich. You're right on there. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can get a 250 gig of storage, which is actually a pretty good size for backup.
It's not too bad, huh?
Yeah. For $50. Not a bad deal. Okay. Well, if I had it, I guess I should just activate it. What the heck? Why not get it going? I imagine it'll expire at some point. And so from now...
You know what we should do? You and I should do? We should check out that PC to PC synchronization. I should buy a month. I should go in there and buy a month's subscription and then see how that works out. Maybe just syncing like a small folder of whatever we decide and see how that works.
Okay. Well, the subscription has expired. Let me go about that again. Looks like that has gone away.
Let's see if I can do that.
And I could add a sync if I wanted to. I'm not going to do it right now because I don't want to lose bandwidth on that thing. But I did activate it, although it's funny. It says it expires January 14th, 2012, which has already passed. That must have been the old one. And right now, my payment, right now I'm on a monthly plan. It expires August 22nd, which is a month from today. So looks like I'm up and running. Not bad for $15. Last tab. Tools and utilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got one called Try and Decide.
Is an interesting one, huh?
Yeah, so it says perform any unsafe operation in the try mode and decide whether you apply
it
or revert
to it. Oh, boy. What shall we do that's unsafe?
I'm going to install some junkware. Mm-hmm. And so if I click on that, does it just... So right now it says try and decide is off. Click to start. So I assume once I start that, it's going to take a snapshot or something of my current settings, or it's going to put me in a sandbox of some sort, right?
Yeah, I think it does a sandbox thing, but yeah. I'm sure it does some kind of a sandbox thing, because if you're doing something unsafe, you know, yeah, that would be a way to keep you from getting totally jammed.
Yeah, it does create some virtualization for you and does it inside the sandbox. Try and Decide features allows you to create a secure, controlled, temporary workspace on your computer without requiring you to install special virtualization software. You can perform various system operations without worrying that you might damage your operating system programs or data. So
that's kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah. No, that is.
Now, I'll tell you, I think as you use this, and I've tried it before, and I think that you see that there's like... I'm going to get this wrong, but I'm going to say I'm thinking there was probably some icon in the tray, and it was telling you you've been running this for so many minutes. So I think what it's trying to tell you is, hey, don't try and decide for a week. Try and decide for maybe, you know, a shorter period of time, like an hour or two or something like that, because I think it's just using up a lot of your... I'm not sure if it's memory it's using up or if it's actually writing to the disk in some probably secure zone.
But it's doing some things so that it can probably back some things out if it needs to. So,
correct.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Try and Decide. I had never heard of that before, and so that was kind of interesting to have that. There's the clone disk, which is copy partitions from one disk to another. Now, this is probably, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is this the feature we all talk about when we're going to take a... So we especially with Windows Home Server, right? So we take it, we put it on a 120 gig hard drive because that's or 160 gig, and then we clone it and then we jam it onto a 60 gig SSD drive.
Can do that. You can shrink it down as long as the data will fit on that partition. Sure. Yep.
Okay. So that's the clone disk.
That's why we love it. That's another reason.
There's a little wizard that it walks you through mm-hmm. there. And then the protection tool. So the Rescue Media Builder, that's what we already built, right? You had me build one of those earlier.
Right.
There's an Acronis Startup Recovery Manager.
Which is kind of interesting, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, it says if Windows works unstably, unstably, press F11 at boot time and recover your data or the whole system.
So that's kind of like hit F11 or F10 at boot time to recover your factory image kind of a thing. It's just a fancier way of doing what I was suggesting, which is just to hide it. And of course, you don't have to do that with a bootable rescue medium, so it's a little faster.
And the setup's pretty easy. You just click the wizard, and there's one step. It says activate. If F11 is pressed at boot time, Acronis True Image will run.
Mm-hmm.
So must put something somewhere. So
I am sure that it puts some kind of proprietary hidden partition on your drive. It carves out a space on your drive, and then it just somehow configures BIOS, something in BIOS, some little shim in there to make F11 actually point to it and kick it off.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And then there is there's the Acronis Secure Zone, a special secure partition for storing backups on your disk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you can carve out a section that is encrypted in some way, so your backups are encrypted if you lost the drive.
I don't know if it's encrypted. It may be, but it's also another one of those proprietary partitions. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Boot sequence manager. Boot your computer from a disk image.
Now that's kind of interesting, huh? That actually bears investigation at some point here to see what you could do with that.
Well, so it says the Acronis Boot Sequence Manager tool is only available for users of Enterprise or Ultimate editions of Windows 7. It allows you to add Windows 7 system partition images to the booting list and then manage the list. You can add to the list images backed up both in the VHD and TIB formats. Adding a TIB image requires converting it into a VHD format.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah. And Acronis can convert between TIB and VHD and vice versa. So
anything, there's just a bunch of tools in here, Rich. A backup settings transfer, a backup conversion tool, image mounting. This tool allows you to access an image as an ordinary disk. So if I assume this is an ISO reader?
You know, I think that they're talking about, the TIB. Let me see. Let's click on it and see what it says. It's just looking at a TIB file.
Okay.
And just to be clear about that, you can just walk up to any TIB and just double click it and it mounts itself automatically.
Okay. And so I'm assuming for the average guy, that means if I wanted to pull a file out of that backup, that's how I would do it.
You could, yeah. Okay. Drag and drop.
Okay. And then there is a disk management tool where you can create partitions on your new hard disk drive to be able to use it in Windows. There is an Acronis Extended Capacity Manager. Use more than the 2 terabyte capacity on your hard drive, even if your OS does not support it. Now that'd go back a ways, right? Now I shouldn't say a ways, but right. If you have a 2 terabyte hard drive in the old days, some of the OSs can't read them.
I think what it's saying is that if you have a 3 terabyte and you configure it with as MBR, well, you're stuck at that 2 point, we'll call it 2.1, we'll call it just 2 terabyte limit, and you've got another 1 terabyte sitting off to the side, which would give you 2 partitions. I think I'm going to guess what it does is it formats it as a GPT, which has a humongous limitation on the size of partitions. So that's probably what it does. Just makes it easy.
For most modern operating systems, at least or a PC that you've bought in the last year or two, this is going to be unnecessary, but it's there. Three more cool tools, and then I'll call it quits. Security and privacy, there's a system cleanup tool in this where it'll delete your tracks if you're worried about where you're going and what you're doing online. That will go in and take out all the history on all the various places that you have. There's an Acronis drive cleanser, permanently destroys all data on your old partitions or whole disks. Rich, have you tried that before? I know you've talked about, data destruction in the past and using some various tools. Have you tried that drive cleanser? Does it really delete the data?
I would say it does. It gives you DoD standards. Gutman, Bruce Schneier. God, it's got everybody and his brother in here. Yeah, it's got some Russian standard of deletion. I'm sure that once you run one of these passes, that data is long gone.
Yeah.
Well,
so there's the drive cleanser, and then there's the file shredder, which is guaranteed destruction of your files and folders.
Same thing. I mean, it's just writing. It's just a file instead of a drive.
Yeah, some tools in there. Well, so, Rich, we've been talking about Acronis for about an hour. This by itself will probably make a nice little zipped-up podcast, and we can, you know, if folks have questions about what Acronis is all about, I think we've probably given them a pretty good overview of the tool through the tabs, even though we didn't have screenshots. I think it does come with a free 30-day trial, too, if you wanted to try it out and then install it and then listen to the podcast, and you could click through the tabs with us kind of as we go through. So any other things that, Rich, that you want to add to the Acronis piece?
I really like it. It's, you know, pretty much my favorite tool.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, hey, Rich, can we wrap this part together, kind of call it Acronis and make it a podcast?
Sounds good.
I'll let folks know if they want questions, comments, ideas, information, get back to us. They can email the show, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. That comes to me. I'll forward it on to Rich, and we'll be getting some good comments on the show. If you want to make a comment about anything you heard here, you can head over to the Facebook page. Just search for The Average Guy TV on Facebook, and we have a group and a page. All the information goes on the page. All the conversation goes on the page. No, I'm sorry, on the group. All the announcements go on the page. So you want to head over to the group. All those links are available out at theaverageguy.tv in the posting. You can just click on them there and get them done. Rich, thanks for taking an hour on a Sunday afternoon to talk through Acronis. I'll be honest with you. This was really good for me because we walk through every tab in it, and now I've got a much better idea of what I'm up against.
And so do I.
Yeah, when it comes to using it. So, and we'll save the computer build for maybe another podcast. And
you're not done buying everything you need anyway, right?
We only bought half the equipment last night. If you're a home server guy and you're involved in the home server show, head over to homeservershow.com and just search for Jim's Rig. And my 15-year-old son is building his first gaming computer, and he's put some pretty nice parts in it. So. Rich joined me yesterday afternoon. We should have recorded that. That'd been pretty good. Rich and my 15-year-old and a bunch of posts that we'd gotten off the Home Server Show forum site that kind of we walked through and picked some parts and made some compromises on some and went better than expected on others. And so there's some good stuff that's there. And Rich, maybe the next time we get together, we can talk about that.
Yep, definitely. Looking forward to that.
All right, we'll wrap up Rich's Random Podcast Generator number 19.
I think so. Number 19. Wow.
We'll keep the chat room open here, but we're going to close this up from an audio standpoint of the show. And you can find this podcast and many other fine podcasts over at The Average Guy. Doesn't that sound good?
Over at The Average Guy. It does. It does.
Over at TheAverageGuy.tv. Rich, we'll do it again next time we have some time.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Thank you, Jim.
You bet. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Bye-bye.